The Golden Deceit. I knew more than many about the security arrangements of the Imperial Palace, but to rely on that would have limited the usefulness of my exercise. To penetrate what I already knew was no challenge. The true test was whether I could get in using only what information could be gleaned from outside. Goods moved towards the Imperial Palace. Everyone knew that. For all the efforts at secrecy, it was possible to discover, with the correct combination of persistence, subterfuge, bribery, and intimidation, that some goods were not openly marked for their destination. The Imperium already wanted to record and monitor everything. Therefore, it was reasonable to assume, I felt, that these goods had a secret destination. That, somewhat counterintuitively, suggested that even though these containers might be destined for sensitive areas of the Imperial Palace, the contents would be inspected by fewer people, which made them a better candidate in which to stow away. That is the issue with systems. If you can get inside one undetected, then once you are there, you are far less likely to be noticed. At Nadella, the Sinan brothers transferred their cargo to other, more local contractors. The confusion of bureaucracy that was already threatening to become the hallmark of the Imperium meant it was comparatively easy for the true origin and nature of the containers to become obscured to anyone without a real patience for digging into detail. Even if the contents were discovered by those not meant to find them, they would struggle to ascertain from where exactly the cargo had come, and those bringing them into the palace wouldn't be able to give details. Another piece of the puzzle I'd had to decode before I could begin my operation. I suspected Malkador. Swamping potential enemies in paperwork was his style, and making everything more complicated than it had to be in order to hide covert operations smelled like his handiwork. It was at Nadella that my self-imposed trance broke, and I became fully aware of myself again. I would have woken at any time had there been a threat, such as the container being opened, but that had not been necessary. Now, however, I rode in the darkness, listening to the distant noise of the road and judging our ascent into the Himalaya by the time taken, the angle of the container around me, and our compass heading. The routes to the Imperial Palace grow fewer and fewer the closer you get, so having memorized them, it was easy for me to work out which road we had taken. A sharp hairpin as we followed the mountainside, the hollow roaring beneath us as we crossed a vaulted bridge. These things were sufficient landmarks for one such as I. So it was that I knew exactly when we were approaching the mighty, as yet incomplete, Lion's Gate, and when we passed through it. The Imperial Palace then was far smaller than now, but still gargantuan, and the volume of traffic entering and leaving was more than any mortal mind could monitor. The cargo of which I was part had sufficient security clearance to be waved through without inspection and delivered to its destination with no checks. Systems, you see. The containers were unloaded by a mag-clamped lifter, for they were too heavy and bulky to be moved by even the most augmented manual servitors. I heard the thuds and clangs as the mag-clamps connected, and felt the shuddering as the container in which I lurked was set down with uncommon care. Then the floor began to descend beneath me. I was being borne down into the warren of catacombs and chambers that honeycombed the rock beneath the Imperial Palace. There were clearly elevator entrances hidden within the city, so as to bring in the Astartes ordnance out of sight of those who should not know about it. That was a potential weak point which would have to be addressed. I descended for a little over 300 meters. Once I came to rest vertically, my container was moved again, another 150 meters to the northwest. When this movement stopped, I listened closely, pressing myself up as close to the doors as I could. The sound of other movements, the clanking and grinding of other containers being shifted into place, ceased. I heard machinery withdrawing. Then, just over a minute later, I heard the quiet cough of mighty arc lumens snuffing out, their illumination no longer needed, and the whine of powerful hydraulics followed by a metallic thud that I interpreted as a door closing. So far as I could tell, there was no one to see if I exited the container. It was time to put that to the test. The container was still locked, of course, and there was naturally no keypad on the inside, but the bolts holding it shut moved as easily for me now as they had when I'd shut it behind me. Then I cautiously pushed the door open and slipped out, with a thin, balanced throwing blade in my right hand. My body responded perfectly, despite the days of inactivity. Most people's would not, but I was willing to bet there were others who could have managed a similar feat. Valdor's precautions would suffice against human foes, but it seemed foolish to assume that all our enemies would be merely human. The storage chamber was almost completely dark, lit only by the faintest of glows from power indicators. My senses are many times sharper than those of a normal human, but even so, I would struggle in these conditions. I brought out the photo goggles the Sinans had issued to me, the better to see potential threats in the darkness, and pulled them on, bringing the chamber into green-washed clarity. I could see no one, and nor could I hear any rasp of breathing or smell sweat. I was alone. I relocked the container behind me, for subterfuge demands not just concealing yourself in the present, but the traces of yourself from the past. Unfortunately, my exit from this place was not going to be so easy to disguise. My comparatively great size ruled out squeezing through ductways or ventilation systems. I was going to have to use the door, although it galled me to do so, since I had no way of knowing if any guards were stationed outside, or whether the door activation would trigger an alert. On the other hand, if troops were rushed here to find out who was stealing the secret munitions, they'd find no one within. Even in the Imperial Palace, technological glitches were not unheard of. I activated the door and stepped out. The corridor was empty. Many people attempting to penetrate Imperial security would have turned and headed further inwards, towards the Sanctum Imperialis itself. I did not do so. I headed back the way the containers had come, guided by my inherent sense of direction. 140 meters to the southeast, I found another door, one which would lead me to the elevator system that had brought me down here, and thence back to the surface. I was not, I must admit, expecting the gold-clad custodian on the other side, who levelled his guardian spear at me in challenge. "Identify you!" The rest of the word was cut off, as my throwing blade buried itself in his throat. The Legio Custodes are nothing if not resilient. The bolt caster spoke, sending a mass reactive explosive tearing through the space where my head had been a moment before, for I had swayed to my right even before my blade had left my hand. I closed the distance on him immediately because, fast though I was, I could not outmaneuver bolt shells, merely the warrior firing them. He activated the power blade of his spear at the speed of thought and brought it slashing towards me, but I caught the weapon by the haft and slammed my back and hip into him. Custodians are large, powerful warriors, bulkier even than those of the Legiones Astartes, but although this one might have slightly overtopped me in height and bore the additional weight of his Oromite armour, my strength and leverage was sufficient to throw him over my shoulder and onto his back, where he landed with a crash. I twisted the guardian spear from his grip, inverted it, and plunged the blade down into his chest before he could react. I had no concerns that he would raise the alarm as he died. My throwing blade, buried in his larynx, had already put pay to that. My first kill, face to face, was one of my father's own elite guards. I did not know this warrior's name, or, since he was a custodian, any of what would undoubtedly be a myriad of names, but he could not have anticipated finding an enemy so far beyond him in martial skill in the tunnels beneath the Imperial Palace. Which was rather the point. I won't deny the thrill that combat gave me. This was the first time I had tested myself against an adversary, and my reflexes and instincts were exactly as honed as I would have expected, bearing in mind the genius of the one who created me. Granted, killing a custodian had not been in my plan, at least not this early, but I would simply have to adapt. My intention had been to pass into the Imperial Palace and mingle with petitioners, becoming one of many. However, the dead body at my feet suggested another possible option. The custodian was not, after all, so very different from me in terms of size. I could become one of not so many, but one far less likely to be challenged. Systems once again. I took a risk, and the time to conceal his body inside the same ammunition container in which I had arrived. Having removed his armour, I hastily mended the fracture in it with the repair cement I found in his effects, dressed myself in it, and ascended to the surface as I'd originally planned, past the servitors stationed there. Should I choose to, I could discard this disguise and still take up the one I had intended to use. This way, however, I had more options. Flexibility and multiple levels of redundancy. That was the key. A more rigid approach might see a plan either attempt to avoid obstacles altogether or power through them with brute force, its eyes always set on the final goal. It's a methodology that can achieve some success, but which relies too heavily on the conditions and environment remaining predictable. Taking the obstacles with which you were presented and using them as stepping stones to increase your chances of success, however, that felt far more graceful and efficient. I was eager to see how far my approach could get me. There is an old Terran proverb, the origins of which are now long forgotten, about the impossibility of making a certain foodstuff without the destruction of some of the ingredients. You might wonder why I, the Emperor's son, would so callously slay one of his chosen guards. This was, after all, a warrior whom my father had selected as one of his own, had meticulously gene-crafted, and into whom had gone considerable resources in terms of training and equipment. You might think it was not only cruel and unnecessary, but also wasteful for me to execute him whilst he was merely attempting to carry out his duty. And this is where we differ, you and I. Firstly, this warrior's purpose was to detect and either subdue or eliminate intruders. He was unsuccessful in his attempt to do so. He was a failure, and the fact the adversary against which he was arrayed outmatched him does not change that. If a warrior is charged with holding a position and they fail to do so, then the quantity or quality of foes against which they were arrayed matters only for the tales that might be told about them afterwards. The Vilka Fenrika have their skjalds sing the great songs of their heroes, but they seem to prefer glorious eventual failures to humble efficient victors. Secondly, Malkador had been very clear. I would do what I must to preserve what he and my father had built. I could not shirk from any action, no matter its apparent morality, if it was required. The blood of one loyal servant on my hands was as nothing compared to that duty. Thirdly, I needed to make sure that I was not myself a failure. I needed to know I could act swiftly and surely and would not flinch from violence, and I could not afford my first test to come at a moment of great importance. There is another old Terran proverb which takes the form of a question, one that does not translate perfectly into Gothic, but which I can best render as, "Who can truly know themselves if they have not fought?" That warrior and I tested each other, and where he failed, I passed. There would always be more tests to come, of course.